Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Ahoy, fine people of Portland. Happy Friday to you. It is gorgeous outside. It is beautiful here because I'm staring at the wonderful man bun of one Andrew Nemec, an SNL edition, Sue, Nemec, and Lynch.
Nemec seems very flummoxed right now.
Well, he is flummoxed right now. He's got Trey Lance on his brain. There's a lot going on right now in the studio. Everyone's dealing with something. Nemec's sports pants over there runneth over, and he's freaking out because Trey Lance is playing in a preseason game, even though we've already seen Trey Lance play last year. And let me tell you, it's very Uncle Rico-esque. That throwing motion's really good. Tim Tebow's jealous of it.
His PFF grade was in the 90s.
So he's dealing with Trey Lance. I was nervous because apparently I thought the previous show was over. I thought Daddy and Dusty were finished. I came into the studio and politely asked Dusty to get out of my chair. Turns out they were still on the air and the mic was open, but apparently the mic was not, it was too far away to capture my very kind and thoughtful sentiments towards Dusty about being in my chair. And let's not bury the lead story here. Hashtag Marano life, maybe no more. Yeah, I know. We're all bracing for the worst. I mean, we don't know.
We don't know anything yet.
But right now, I mean, sources close to me say that the Marano could be in some serious trouble.
Yeah. On the way home last night, my car broke down. Right as I was on the merge ramp that lets you on to 405 right by the 26 interchange all over there. And I had to scoot my car up next to a chain link fence on a sidewalk because, well, there was no shoulder on the merge ramp, and proceed to wait for an hour for a tow truck who got lost three times to try to find me. And then I brought it to the shop.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's wrong. I'm fearful it's transmission, which will be massively expensive. If it's not, that'll be beneficial, and I'll be okay with that. Maybe it'll get fixed.
Yeah, we came in, and Mike, these were the three.
I'm driving like a loner car from the shop that's like a 98 Camry right now.
Hey, hashtag
very
Camry
old
life.
School, because my first ever car was a 97 Camry.
Was it?
So it feels very nostalgic
that's
to drive this around
ride.
Again.
You'll pick up some ladies in that thing? Hey, ladies.
Look at that green color on it. It's a lady magnet.
You like this Camry? Cloth seats? Supplemental
definitely
restraints?
Definitely cloth seats, yep.
You had a little tape player in there. All right.
Having to actually put my key into the car and turn it on as opposed to a button.
I enjoy, though, when we came in and Mike was flummoxed, and he told me about the Murano. These were the three options that he gave me. He said it's either the battery, the alternator. And so immediately I was like, well, that's not so bad. You know, battery's like $75 and an alternator. Like, I can change an alternator.
Yeah. Or?
Yeah, and that's like 100, and you can get those for like $100.
Or
transmission. And I went, I was like, what? How do you go from battery to alternator, which is just, you know, charging the car, to transmission? And then Mike told me that as he was driving the car, it stopped accelerating. And I was like, I don't think that's the battery, my man.
No, I was throwing it out there because when my car stopped accelerating, I tried to turn it off and on again, and then it wouldn't turn back on. Mm. And I needed to get the battery juiced up multiple times just to even put it in neutral for the tow truck. So I threw that out there as maybe best case scenario, the battery's just messed up. I think I'm just saying it and putting it out into the universe out of hope that maybe that's the case.
Don't we all do that when we know something's wrong, whether it's with your house or whether it's like maybe a doctor's appointment? And you're like, well, maybe, just maybe, it's something very minor, and it never is. It's always something major. It never is something minor. So, Mike, I just want you to know that we're praying for you. We're praying for the Murano. But if it's the transmission, now, I know the Murano. I mean, it's your whole lifestyle. Your brand is built around shark sex and the Murano. If the Murano does need a new transmission, is this the end? Do we just bag it at that point, or do you go ahead and fix that bad boy?
I think we'd have to take into account the cost of getting a new and or used car, or a new used car,
yeah,
versus the cost of spending the fee to get this car fixed. I think I would lean towards spending the money to get it fixed.
Mm. Hashtag Murano
life. As opposed to going to a new car just because I don't really want to pay more monthly payments right now. But we'll see. Mm. We'll cross that bridge when it comes.
We're all hoping. We're just, at this point, thoughts and prayers. T's and P's, man. Thoughts and prayers. We're rooting for you. And if you do have a better used Murano that you can sell to Mike for a sweetheart of a deal, we're also interested in that. But only if indeed it is a Murano. I just can't picture you driving anything else. That's who you are.
I did just pass 100,000 miles on this Murano, and the problems have begun.
You know, there's been nothing wrong with my Subaru Forester.
Except that it's a Subaru Forester.
Right. I mean, that there is a downside.
Yeah, there is. Look, I just... Everyone can drive whatever they like. Dave Grohl drives a minivan, right? Who am I to tell Dave Grohl what to do? Nobody. Dave Grohl might be the coolest man on the planet. He drives around like in a Honda Odyssey, right? That's the most badass Honda Odyssey of all time because, well, Dave Grohl's driving it. But in my humble opinion, there are two things that I will never do. One of them, drive a minivan. Not happening. Now I'll drive the hell out of a full-size van. Sign me up. You give me that like black creeper van, no windows. You know, maybe in the back of it, maybe get some mini blinds because I'm going to need some privacy for what's going on in the back of the van. Black light in there. I'll full-size van it all day long. But I'm not driving a minivan, and I'm not driving a Subaru. It's not happening.
Fair enough.
I'd rather drive a Volkswagen Bug before I'll drive the Subaru.
At least you can, you know, pretend like it's a cool retro car and you're like being following the hippie route or something, right?
Yeah, give me the rabbit convertible, can't buy me love style. I don't care. Not driving it.
You want the Kia Soul, the hamster car?
Do it. Sign me up. There is just one of my special lady friend is a wonderful human being, better than me in almost every single way. But one of the great trials in our relationship is when we got together, she drove a Subaru Outback. And it pained me. It pained me that it sat in my driveway and that every morning when I went out, it stared at me.
People are looking.
And it bothered me. And then once in a blue moon, she would have to take my car for something. And what would that stick me with? That freaking Outback.
Did you drive it?
And it just...
You did drive it.
It burned. It burned a hole.
You did drive it.
Right through the middle of
and
it.
You and you loved how it drove, didn't you?
And you said it. You
no,
wouldn't, but you
I
did.
Hated everything about it.
But the safety rating on that thing.
just... But we bought one of the new Broncos. So the Outback has now been removed from my life. And it's a better day.
Well, we have a little hope on the text line. Mike, it is your alternator. That happened to my Murano. It cost about $900. And then Ryan comes in and says, well, my alternator died. My car wouldn't accelerate either. Could be. Hopefully it's simple. So,
by the way, your alternator does not cost $900.
Well, if you went to a shop and they charged you labor as well as the alternator price, I bet you it'd be close to that. But okay. Depending on where you went. But yeah, that gives me a little bit more hope. A little bit.
All right. Well, see, again, fingers crossed, man.
Thank you, Texters.
I want to see that Murano.
And the person who had the same problem in the same car gives me even more hope.
Yeah, that would be glorious. If it ends up, even if it ended up being a $900 problem in total, that wouldn't be the worst.
No.
Thing
Isn't
world,
it great, though?
What you've kind of budgeted mentally.
Yeah.
I'm
ready for thousands.
When one person tells you it's going to be okay, like you got.
That's the person.
You got bowel cancer, and someone's like, bowel cancer? I had bowel cancer 7 times. I beat it every time. You're like, well, if that person did it, We all need that.
It's true.
We need that ray of hope. All you need is one person to tell you that it wasn't that bad or it wasn't that expensive and you're going to be okay.
I can already tell based on the text line who's been clearly ready for this for a long time. That person is not going to exist for me with Trey Lance. No one's going to say, you're right, Nimick. He's got a chance to be good. I came in and before we started the show, it was like, oh, it's Trey Lance Day. Nimick screwed. He's going to suck. Pick six. And then you gave me a hard time. Lynch is trying not to because he knows how much I'm struggling in these moments. But I am not going to get that life raft from anybody on the text.
Now, when
and if he throws a pick, it's going to explode. The text line, you're going to make fun of me. If he throws a pick on his first pass, it's over. I'm just going to walk out of the studio. It's over. I'm going home.
Well, we got the Lions.
You can do the club without me.
We got the Lions-Falcons right now. And then when does the, because I think there's what? Well, there's four or five preseason games on tonight. When does the Niner game hit?
5:30.
Ooh, so exciting. So basically, like at five. So basically,
you're not going to take part in the Joey Harrington interview at all.
No, I'm definitely not.
You're just going to kick your feet up and watch Trey Lance for a half hour.
Yeah, I'm really worried about the interior offensive line too. But
it amazes me. So this does happen so often. Like the Yankees will be in a big game, and it'll be when we're on the air, and you lose Mike. Mm-hmm. Right? Mike will be gone. You can just tell he's not paying attention. The headphones aren't in. Rob will have it like Kansas basketball in the tournament. Like, good luck. Like, you're not going to get anything out of Rob. It's like, it's a lot of me right now. And we're doing this now with you, but I want you to realize that this is not Yankee playoffs.
It's a preseason game.
This is not Kansas NCAA tournament. This is a second year quarterback in preseason number one.
Again, I'm much more worried about the interior offensive line.
The interior
line. Because they're going to run vanilla stuff. They're not going to run him a ton today. They're not going to give him the full script. But the interior offensive line has Aaron Banks, a second-year player who was out of shape and fat all last year. Supposedly, he's trimmed down. Spencer Burford is our rookie at right guard. And he looks like he could be pretty good. In one-on-ones, he's been excellent all camp. And Jake Brandel is our center. He's rated about a 56 on Madden, but... some people think that's 20 points too low.
Look, Andrew, I think you have to understand the truth here, and that's that Malik Willis is already better than Trey Lance.
I mean, I'm really excited for you guys to just all these clips to be saved. It's going to be great. It'll be amazing, and you guys will look like fools. It's just really exciting.
The
for me.
Center was 56 on Madden?
Oh, maybe lower.
You know who else was a 56 on Madden?
Well, he was great, though.
You know who else was 56 on Madden? Right here,
you,
baby.
Skookanick.
I want you to realize... that your precious darling, Trey Lance, future son-in-law to the great Colin Cowherd, is being protected by me. I want you to wrap your head around that. Me. You shouldn't like it.
I don't like it.
You should not like it one bit.
You played the Niners in preseason.
It didn't go well.
How did Stubblefield and Bryant Young treat Dana Stubblefield and Bryant Young treat you?
It didn't go well at all. This is a very, very bad omen for you. It's not going to go well. Oh, and by the way, for those saying yesterday that I had a gambling problem because I gambled on preseason football.
Big dub.
It's only a gambling problem if you lose. And we weren't losing last night. We were cashing winners.
So are you just going to bet on the Ravens every week?
Every single week. I'm riding this heater. The Ravens have now won 21 preseason in a row. And they were only giving up 3.5. Ah, let's do this. Someone here is $50 richer. And now I'm just doing it for kind of S's and giggles. But last night when it was on, it's kind of like the only thing that can make me pay attention to preseason football besides making fun of you and Trey Lance is if I have money on it.
Sure.
And there's just in no way can I gamble on preseason football unless the Baltimore Ravens are riding a 20-game heater. You don't buck that trend. I am going to bet on them every preseason. And I'm going to take my winnings from this one. I bet $50 just kind of like, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm going to let it ride. I'll take my winnings. Next bet, $100. If they win that, we're just going to keep going. We're riding this train until it crashes into the mesa.
Well, I'm going to crash your games left are Cardinals and Commodores.
Let's go.
Commanders.
Commodores. Let's go.
Dude, who cares? It starts with a C and they should have stayed the football team. I actually don't care.
This text says, remind Suk his hot take on Justin Herbert.
That's, you know.
Before he starts diving in on other quarterbacks.
I love it. It's true.
It is very
Someone
true.
Someone here didn't think I was right there with Suk.
But everybody has their guy that they fell in love with that they were just wrong. Everybody has that guy.
I just don't know how you're in love with Trey Lance because no one's seen him. No one. I've seen him play twice last year, and he wasn't any good.
The great people of North Dakota have seen him.
We can't watch him play in North Dakota.
We can actually have this conversation.
Sure.
It's not so much that I think...
Hold on.
He is...
Put a pin in it.
Oh, I'm ready.
Because you may like the poll question.
Do I have to wait this entire segment before I go, or the break?
We're going to wait the entire break. We're going to keep this on the clock. When we come back, I made a poll question today just for you.
Oh, I'm excited.
And for Trey Lance.
Which Trey Lance tool is the most electrifying?
We will see where we go. When we come back, you'll take the poll like the rest of us, and you can have your little moment to talk about your man crush on Trey Lance.
Perfect.
An SNL edition of Primetime when we come back on 1080 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
You text the program 503-250-1080. A lot of hot Murano talk coming in. A lot of car experts. This guy says been in the dismantle business for 40 years. Murano is a SVT transmission. I know that one. Oh, you don't want an SVT 9 or 4 transmission. That's he just says it's a bad design. They all have trouble. If that's the problem, don't fix it. That from Brian. You're going to fix a transmission after Brian told you that it's an SVT transmission?
I think the other thought that needs to go in on this is how expensive it is to get a new and or used car at this point and whether or not that is worth it or just fix the transmission.
Car trouble.
Although a lot of people are telling me they think it's the alternator. It's more than one. I've now gotten like four different people are saying, Mike, I'm almost positive
car
it's your alternator.
Experts.
They're more expert than I am. I know nothing, Jon Snow.
Well, it's... Look, when it comes to cars, they used nice. You used to be able to fix cars. Like back in the day, I liked old SUVs. So like I had an old K5 Blazer, I had an old Bronco. Those are all things that you could work on. You open a car hood now and you just stare at it and you're like, what? It's like opening up the back of your computer and being like, I got this. You don't know. You have no idea what's going on. Like, good luck touching anything. Because if you do, one, you're just going to break more things. So unless you know how to fix computers, yeah, good luck with that. So that's the only downside to modern cars. You just, those engines now, it's an entirely different beast. That music does mean that it is time for the AAA heating and cooling poll question. Family business helping families serve 60 years. AAAIAQ.com. You can find that on Twitter at 1080 The Fan. Nick, I did this poll question just for you.
Oh, great. Yeah. Very excited.
You know, with Trey Lance's debut.
Oh, here we go.
You know, today, 5:30, big debut for Trey.
As the head guy.
Yes.
He played a couple games.
Last year, and how'd those go?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I would say the performance kind of went.
I disagree.
Here is the poll question. How bad will Trey Lance be? Tim Tebow, Drew Locke, really? Sam Darnold, or Josh Rosen?
Not even mad.
Vote and vote hard. I'm going to click here. I kind of feel like this is a Tim Tebow-esque sort of thing.
Oh,
I think I want to give him a little more credit and put Sam Darnold.
You're going to go Darnold? I like Tebow because he's an athletic guy. He can run around a little bit.
He's got a weird, funky arm,
and he's kind of slow with the delivery. And so, yeah, I'm going to go Tim Tebow. Does he love Jesus? Do we know that?
Well, if he's...
Is he a man of the Lord?
So my take, as you know, is that Zach Wilson is Mormon Tim Tebow and Josh Rosen is Jewish Tim Tebow.
Mm.
Is Trey Lance an atheist?
No.
Because if he is, we have atheist Tim Tebow.
it's possible. Well, right now in our little, you know, it's only been up there for just a little bit. It is tied right now between Tim Tebow and Sam Darnold.
Oh, his career's going to fall somewhere between those two.
Somewhere between the two, which I'm very excited about. I think if you're a Niner fan, you take this. I mean, you know, Jimmy G is only taking you to a Super Bowl and multiple playoff wins. But, yeah, you know, Trey Lance. Why is, like, I'm being dead serious on this. We love to give you a hard time.
Yeah, sure.
What is it about Trey Lance that you are so excited about?
Well, so my thing is more the marriage with Shanahan, because Shanahan's whole thing, and we saw it with Robert Griffin III in his rookie season.
It worked until they ran him into the ground.
When your quarterback is mobile, it takes one defender has to take him.
100%.
One defender in the assignment has to be with him.
Yes.
In his scheme, even with Garoppolo, when you've got a tight end like George Kittle who blocks and can literally block good defensive ends and drive them out, you're going to have numbers anyway in his scheme. So they're already just in schematically working kind of plus one. With Trey Lance, you're almost now working plus two in the run game. So all you have to do off that, they're going to ground and pound. They're going to run the ball. That's why they drafted those running backs. They're going to have a stable of fresh running backs. Trey Lance has a big arm. And multiple times throughout the year, last year, they would run you into the ground, and then Jimmy would go to throw that deep ball where Ayuk and Debo, they forgot about him because they're so focused on the running game, and it's a 50-yard bomb, and Garoppolo would underthrow it by 20 yards and it'd get picked or it'd fall into the ground. Those shots are there two or three times a game. Trey Lance has the ability and has the accuracy to, like, hey, I'm by myself, throw me a punt return type catch. He can be that guy. I do have concerns about a number of things with Trey Lance, but in Kyle Shanahan's scheme, his ability to run and his big arm solve two things in Shanahan's system that if he feels he has, it opens up everything. And I'm betting on Shanahan and the personnel, Kittle, Debo, Elijah Mitchell, Trey Sermon, Trent Williams is a dominant left tackle. I just think there's pieces in place that even if Trey Lance is the 18th best thrower, best thrower in the league, just pure passing grade, is 18th, slightly below average. His ability to run and what that does for Shanahan opens so much of the offense up that he's almost going to succeed as long as he can be slightly below average. If he's good, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I play along with it too to some extent. If he's good, look out.
Yeah.
Because it opens up everything with the most creative offensive mind in the league. People give that credit to Sean McVay, and Sean McVay's very bright. Shanahan's better. And I don't think it's close from an X's and O's standpoint.
He did lose his OC, though, who's now out in Miami. But, you know, this give credit where credit's due.
It's the Shanahan tree.
It is the Shanahan tree. It's his system.
He lost a branch of... Yeah. Off his tree, not the other way around. Shanahan's not a branch off the Miami coach.
Where I will agree with you on this is so much we play the game of, is this quarterback good? Is that quarterback, you know, terrible? And so much of this comes down to fit and scheme and where you end up, right? And I'm not saying, like, some guys succeed no matter what, okay? They just do. But let's look at Josh Allen, because I think Josh Allen right now, is anyone going to argue that that's not a top four quarterback in the league? I mean, Josh Allen is the real deal.
No, and in terms of what he can do with the right offensive coordinator, he can be one.
Exactly. And so, but when Josh got into the league for 2 years, Josh Allen was terrible. I mean, really, really bad.
Oh, horrific.
And But he was in a scheme in Buffalo where they played defense, they ran the ball, and there was stability there at his offensive coordinator. And now give Josh Allen a lot of credit. He worked on it too, and he worked with was it back out in California, one of the old BYU guys. He worked with one of the quarterback gurus, and they basically rebuilt him from the ground up, and he put a lot of work into that. And then year three, it got a little bit better. And then pop, here now we have an MVP type guy. By the way, odds on favorite to win the Super Bowl this year, Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
But I make the argument that if Josh Allen ends up in, God, I don't know, Jacksonville, or if he ended up in Chicago, or if he ended up in, I don't know, Atlanta the last couple of years, or a place like that, Josh Allen could be out of the league. Josh Allen could not be starting because, dude, he was doing nothing his first 2 years. And if you put him behind a bad offensive line that couldn't run the ball and didn't play defense, they're getting housed. They're getting housed, and he's getting his head kicked in, and then bad habits are developing. And all of a sudden you've got one of these situations where a first round guy with some talent with all the physical tools never really develops. So you're right in the fact that if I'm a betting man on which one of these quarterbacks that this, you know, legendary class produce, you know, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. Am I missing anyone? Right, it was those five guys. And people were talking about before the draft, oh my God, is this going to be Marino, Elway, Kelly, that sort of thing. The one that I would bet on, well, I'd bet on two. One would be Mac Jones, and the other one would be Trey Lance, simply based on what you're talking about. If we can all assume that if you're drafted in the top 10, you have a physical skill set. You just do, right? Whether that's Jake Locker, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, or you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone else who was drafted that was bad in the first, you know, Baker Mayfield, right?
You're a tool shed.
You're a tool shed. You've got things, yeah. Right? You've got talent.
No doubt.
So it's not as if you just show up to the league and you're completely incapable, but so much of it is, yes, who you have around you. And so I think those two guys, Mac Jones, who last year was the best of those quarterbacks by far, he wasn't a world beat or anything. He was kind of captain check down, but he was good. He was good in New England. And some of that was he was with one of the best offensive minds in football in Josh McDaniels, who's now in Vegas.
And now Matt Patricia's calling plays for him, and he's a defensive guy.
Well, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge.
They're both terrible.
It's bizarre. Very bad. But he was with a very good OC and a very stable organization.
With a really good defense.
Yes.
They didn't ask him to do much.
So all of a sudden, you saw him excel.
Right.
Right? And so when you look at that, Trey Lance and Mac Jones are just, if we're on a curve, dude, they are head and shoulders above what you're dealing with in Chicago, which is the worst of the situations, New York, which is a mess, and then Jacksonville, which who would have thought that is the worst of the situations, but he had the Urban Meyer thing to deal with.
Right, and we've talked about this too. I'm fairly realistic about quarterback. I mean, I really care. I don't think people know how much I care.
Oh, we know you care.
Trevor Lawrence, I've said from when he was in high school.
Yeah, you weren't a big...
I said he's very solid in every way.
Yeah.
Everything he does is B+, A-. So everyone sitting at home is like, oh, he's good. Because you cannot poke a hole in anything.
Yeah.
His footwork is good. Mm-hmm. His accuracy is good. His arm strength is good. Nothing is elite. Mm-hmm. And now what you're hearing from people in Jacksonville, even it's coming out in this camp and you're having writers say it, when they drafted him, they thought he was A+ across the board, that he was generational. And then once they got him, they were like, oh, he's just pretty good at everything. Yeah. And he was at Clemson. And that's not bad. He still has a really high floor, but a lower ceiling than what they thought because he doesn't have that arm strength. He's not elite accurate. Trey Lance has this freak arm. It's like Josh Allen and him in terms of freak arm strength.
And he can move.
He's lightning quick.
Yeah.
So people think like, you know, 18th, you know, that's a stretch. If Trey Lance is the 18th best quarterback in the league, the Niners can't do anything. That's a problem. Lamar Jackson was the 24th best quarterback last year. So if he's six starter spots better than Lamar Jackson, he's not going to be as electric as a runner, but the tools around him are better on the off. If he's just the 18th best quarterback, they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it because you mentioned it, and it's worth kind of digging into the ability to move around in today's NFL game and what it does for you and kind of where we go with Lamar Jackson, because here's a guy that's an MVP playing into the last year and still doesn't have his contract. You know, it's interesting because when's the last time you saw that? So I want to talk about it because it is the ultimate apple that gets dangled out in front of NFL teams, and yet there's always that weird hesitation that comes along with that ability to be the plus one in the run game. So we talk a little quarterbacks when we come back. An SNL edition of Primetime here on The Fan. Here, though, is Mike with SportsCenter.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I'm talking Trey Lance, and you brought up something that I want to expand upon it further, because there's no more important position in any sport than quarterback. There's just not another sport like that where the ball is in his hands every single time. It's not in LeBron's hands every single time. You know, you can double team LeBron, force the ball out of his hands. You can't. At the start of every play, it's going to be in a quarterback's hands. And when you don't have one in the NFL, it's really, really hard to win, right? You can win with a game manager. We've seen it. But for the most part, big time quarterbacks win big time games. And for the entire, you know, for the entire span of the NFL, since it's kind of become a modern game, the game is won from the pocket. It just is. You look at championship quarterbacks, it is won from the pocket. But as the athletes have gotten better, and we've seen this going back, you can go back to Fran Tarkenton, or you can go to Randall Cunningham, and you can go to Steve Young, and we can go to Cam Newton, and you can go to Michael Vick, who I think was probably the best athlete to ever play that position. And then you
just
go
ahead of his time.
And then you go to Lamar Jackson, who I think is the same sort of thing, right? And we've seen guys have success that, because what you said, when you have an athletic quarterback, it changes everything, because it takes one defender off the field. Normally you're playing basically 10 offensive players against 11 defensive players because the quarterback's not involved. But when a quarterback can run and he's a threat to run, it's now 10 on 10. It's
11 on 11.
11 on 11. Yeah. That's a better way to put it. You plus one, 11 on 11. You've now taken the advantage away from the defense. And we fall in love with the athleticism of quarterbacks. And yet we've yet to see the guy really transcend the NFL. We hear about it all the time that this is going to be the missing link. This is the guy that's going to break the mold. And we love to talk about the athleticism of quarterbacks. And yet year after year, we see it, that if you are going to win in this league in big time ways consistently, you have to be able to win from the pocket.
Right.
I love to see it. And I know guys like Shanahan love to incorporate things. I mean, you mentioned RG3, who again was a very dynamic athlete at Baylor, won a Heisman Trophy, came into the league and was very successful in 1 year. And then what happened to him? And this is the thing I wonder about Lamar Jackson. Like, Lamar Jackson won an MVP. Lamar Jackson was an absolute beast. Lamar Jackson isn't necessarily a great throw of the football. He's not terrible, but he's a good throw of the football, but he's an elite athlete. And yet we've seen Baltimore right now. When's the last time you saw an MVP having to go into the last year of his deal and not see a contract?
Right.
So
won an MVP.
Exactly.
That's won an MVP. It's crazy.
And they've built the entire offense around him.
Right.
Everything is
intentionally.
Built intentionally around Lamar and his skill set.
Greg Roman might be on the way out because they overbuilt that.
Yeah. You know? I mean, they don't have any receivers. But now it's this weird, it's this weird dynamic in the NFL where I think everyone is desperate to find that guy, and we've seen some short-term success at it, and yet we really haven't seen the guy that actually validates what we all think that position should be. Because, you know, whether it's last year, Matthew Stafford, who you could probably beat in a 40, goes out and wins the Super Bowl.
So much to unpack here. I love this. I can talk quarterbacks forever. I love this.
Yeah.
So people think of running quarterbacks inherently the wrong way. Okay. Running, the ability to run, does not raise your ceiling as a quarterback at all. Doesn't raise your ceiling. It raises your floor. No one No one has played the quarterback position better than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning at their apex. I don't care how good a running quarterback you are. You can cite me the best Michael Vick game ever. I don't care. The very, very best games ever played at quarterback, seasons ever played at quarterback, mm-hmm. are apex Favre, apex Manning, apex Brady. What it does is raise your floor. Mm-hmm. It allows you to play 11 on 11. So that's the first piece. The other piece is, guys are getting hit harder and harder because these athletes are bigger, faster, stronger. It's why they're de-emphasizing and devaluing the running back position. We're going to give a guy 300 touches, 250 touches. He's getting hurt. We cannot stake our future on him. Derrick Henry is a dinosaur. He's phenomenal, yeah. but he's old school, and you can't build around that anymore because they're so, so, so rare. So what running quarterbacks do, yes, they allow you to play 11 on 11. But the risk you run is you're building a franchise around the most important person in all of sports being a guy that gets hit. How does the NFL feel about guys that get hit? We know. We've looked at the running back position. They're devaluing
it. They don't want them.
Because that guy gets hurt, and then suddenly your whole game plan goes out the window. That's why the NFL, it's a twofold problem, why the NFL doesn't want it to invest fully the same way in a running quarterback. It does raise the floor, so they're safer. Because even if they're not a great thrower, Lamar Jackson has games where he doesn't throw well. They can still move the football.
Well, I think one of the best examples of this is Cam Newton. Cam won an MVP, went to a Super Bowl, right, and was a step away. And yet after that season, and Cam Newton got hit more than any other quarterback in NFL history.
And he started making business decisions.
Yeah.
And that was part of it. Yes. He took too many hits.
Yeah. Cam was the outlier because he was so big and physical. He was an athletic running quarterback. Like Steve McNair had a little bit of that, although McNair was a better thrower of the ball. But Cam was such a unique beast. When you look at the advanced statistics, he wasn't great on obvious passing situations, third and long. He was usually back half of the NFL. But everything that's around him made up for it. But what didn't age well? What? Cam right. Newton. Once the shoulder went and once he started getting hurt and he didn't play into his, he wasn't good into his mid to late 30s like these other guys, you had this very small window and you came real close, but you still couldn't climb the mountaintop with
him. And Mahomes is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But Mahomes is a phenomenal passer first. He runs and he runs to move the chains.
Yeah.
But he's not a runner.
No,
I mean, he's not a pure runner.
And he extends plays, but he is a
that's what he does.
Throw first quarterback.
He extends. Tyreek gets behind the defense, or Tyreek is so shifty, he comes back to the ball nicely. Kelsey is just unbelievable at finding the soft spot in the defense and sitting.
And what were they trying to do to him last year? What were they trying to do, Andy Reid?
Well, they went too high, and they took away, and then suddenly Mahomes looked human.
And Andy Reid had to, they worked with him saying, you've got to play from the pocket, you've got to get rid
of the
ball.
And then they traded Tyreek Hill in part to say, you're too in love with that, throwing it over the top. Yeah. You have to be willing to have those 11 play, 12 play. Guys like Josh Allen, guys like Patrick Mahomes, they're unbelievable. But they don't have a higher ceiling. They might have an equal ceiling to apex Manning and apex Brady, right? But it has to be throwing first. Throwing is the most important thing for a quarterback to do.
Well,
running part is secondary.
Well, I want to ask you this thing, because I know we got to go to break. So ponder this and answer that when you come back. Can you be a truly elite pocket quarterback? Can you be the Aaron Rodgers? Can you be a Tom Brady? Can you be a Peyton Manning? Right? Can you be a Patrick Mahomes? Can you be this elite pocket guy and be a running quarterback?
A true running quarterback.
Can you be one of those guys? Or is it one of those things like in baseball where you can be a great hitter, you can be a great pitcher, but you can't do both until a certain Japanese guy came and did it? Because growing up now, most of these great athletes are playing quarterback. So can you do that? Or is there something in the growth and development when you're that great of an athlete that prevents you from ever developing that true great pocket presence? We talk about that when we come back. A little quarterback talk here on an SNL edition of Primetime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right.
Hi, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Having a little quarterback conversation here. And kind of the, I'm not going to say the fallacy, but the dream scenario of the Shohei Ohtani. The guy that can pitch and hit. And I feel like in the NFL, that's what everyone's looking for, is the athletic quarterback that can run, but also be an elite pocket quarterback. And we do see plenty of mobile quarterbacks, but the idea of the running quarterback, you know, the Michael Vicks, the
Lamar Jacksons,
the Cam Newtons of the world. And I this is always something, and I don't fully know the answer to this because I'm not involved in youth football. I'm not in Elite 11 sort of thing. But I've often wondered why the best athlete is usually playing quarterback, right? In modern day football, right? People want to be the quarterback. And why wouldn't you? It's the most important position in football. So when you get a kid at a young age that is just that much better than everyone else. And we all know that when you watch little kid football and you see a guy out there and you're like, oh my God, look at what that kid's doing. He's just bigger, stronger, faster than anyone else. I've often wondered, when you're that dominant physically, does it make it harder to develop pocket skills? Because the idea of being in a pocket, the idea of manipulating a pocket, the idea of stepping up under pressure, the idea of looking off a safety and throwing out here, all of that stuff takes time. That's not a natural.
Very nuanced.
Not a natural ability, right? You don't go out there and say, hey, you know, I want you to do this. It's something you have to work on. And if from a young age, every time the pocket collapses around you, or every time your first read isn't there, and you have the ability to go run for 13 yards because you're just faster than everyone you're playing, does that stunt the growth and development of a lot of the truly elite athletes that play quarterback?
Yes. Escapability, your ability to be an escape artist and escape the pocket, extend plays by getting a first down, you know, mm-hmm. running for extending drives by, you know, moving the chains.
Yes.
That is different than pocket manipulation, which is literally just footwork.
Sure.
Mac Jones is actually phenomenal at manipulating the pocket. He's actually truly, genuinely elite. Right. I don't know if he has any other tool in his tool belt that's elite, but if you watch him when he's being blitzed, his ability to kind of shift his body weight and just make a throw that's accurate. It's a check down, but he got it there without being able to step in. It's just footwork. Is really, really elite. He can't run. He's not a runner.
No.
Tom Brady's excellent in the pocket at just buying an extra half a second. When you're an elite runner, you know, Mahomes isn't an elite pocket guy. He's not. He's an elite extender, mm-hmm. and he can kind of run around, find Hill, find Kelsey, who are two of the best when plays break down.
He's amazing,
ever.
Man.
They're unbelievable at like playground football. And that's not a knock at all. That's a true skill, and they're phenomenal at it. And teams don't practice it enough. The Niners almost last year didn't practice it at all because Jimmy couldn't do it. Now they have to practice it, which tells you what a running quarterback allows you to do. But I compare pocket, the ability to manipulate a pocket versus just being a good runner. To me, it's similar to elite wide receivers. The speed guys often aren't the best route runners because to create separation, they just use their speed.
Yeah.
So their release is often really good. They got great footwork, chop, chop, chop. And then they can get by you. And that's all they need because you're not catching them once they're by you. Whereas some of the best route runners in the league, Cooper Kupp, Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, those are 4-5 guys.
Yeah.
They need to run good routes. They need that stem to look exactly the same every time.
Adams and Kupp are the two best route runners in the game, period.
Right. And the way that they've done that is ever since they were young, and I'm sure when they were like in Little League, they were better than everybody else. But in college, even Cooper Kupp at Eastern Washington, he couldn't just flat out solely rely on, I'm just going to run by you.
Yeah.
Mike Hass, phenomenal route runner at Oregon State. That's why he won the Biletnikoff. Unbelievable. That's different than Brandon Cooks. Lightning fast, no one could stay with him. They were different types of receivers. When you have to learn early how to be a great route runner to create that separation, That's what makes you great. And there are very, very few elite 4-3 receivers. Justin Jefferson is off the charts. I think Justin Jefferson might be the most physically gifted receiver in the league right now. He's blazing fast, and he's also probably a top 5 or 6 route runner in the league. That is so rare because guys rely on their speed. Tyreek Hill's not an elite technician at route running. He's a pretty good route runner, but he's a 4-3 guy, so who cares? No one can stay with him. So I think it's the same thing with quarterbacks. When you're not the greatest athlete, you have to learn to manipulate the pocket younger. You don't learn just, you get reps doing it, right? Because you have to. Whereas if you're young and you're the best athlete, you never develop that pocket awareness. You don't have to manipulate the pocket. You just go run for 40 yards.
Yeah, this guy says like the kid that throws in the mid-90s in high school. Very rarely does he develop a lot of touch or control or placement or a secondary pitch because he just mows everybody down. Yeah, I think that there is whether you want to use the pitching analogy, I thought your receiver one was really good. I do think that there can be a hindrance to your overall development when you have one sort of dominating thing. And someone else said, isn't Justin Herbert that guy, which I just laugh at. He said he won the Rose Bowl with his legs and runs a 4-5. No one's accusing Justin Herbert of being an elite NFL quarterback athlete. Stop. I mean,
He can run.
He can run, but Justin
Herbert. Aaron Rodgers can run.
Yes, Justin Herbert is not outrunning NFL players. Right. Justin Herbert can scoot around for a first down, but if Justin Herbert decided to try to run a Baltimore Ravens offense, he would die. He would get annihilated.
And so would Mahomes.
Yes, he
would too. I'm not even taking shots at Mahomes. He's
the
great.
Speed and athleticism of NFL defense is ridiculous. In fact, you can even take this. One of the best college players I ever saw was Reggie Bush. Why did Reggie Bush not translate as well into the NFL? Because Reggie Bush was a turn-the-corner guy.
Yes.
At USC, Reggie Bush had the ability to be shifty, get to the corner, and outrun everybody. And what can't you do in the NFL? You don't turn the corner.
Right.
Very, very, very few people in the NFL get the corner in the NFL and are able to turn it because it's just different because there's man-eaters out there. There's heat-seeking tigers that play on the back half of NFL defenses. And so when we talk about athletic quarterbacks, lots of these guys, Andrew Luck was a good athletic quarterback. Like you said, Patrick Mahomes is a good athletic quarterback. Andrew Luck was a really good quarterback, athletic guys that can move around. Kyler Murray is a really shifty athletic quarterback that can move around. Russell Wilson, none of these guys are 4-2-3 truly blazers. I mean, they're just not. So
talking about unicorns, guys who can run for the first
time. There's a difference. I think everyone wants an athlete for your quarterback. No one wants a Paxton Lynch. The days of wanting the 6'5 statue back there are gone. But there is a thing where I think that you would trade some athleticism at your quarterback position for a guy that has pocket presence. And I think you do see that in some of these contracts that are being handed out, that people are a little hesitant to give long-term contracts. See Arizona, see Baltimore. We're a little hesitant to turn over that kind of money to people that are whether it's fair or not, perceived as guys that rely more on their feet than guys that rely on their arms.
You touched on something really important, and it's a scouting thing I use, and so I wanted to bring it up very quickly. It's not totally tied to this conversation. You mentioned Reggie Bush and his ability to get to the outside. If you're watching running back film ever, and you're watching high school running back film, and you want to see if a running back's going to be good, and I mean the 4-5 star guys. I mean Thomas Tyner. Why did Thomas Tyner not work out? Well, go watch his highlights. He isn't jump cutting in the hole and doing these shifty things in a phone booth.
Turn the corner and
he just turns the corner and go because he's faster than everybody else. Once football got harder, yeah, and it's like, hey, you need to be shifty between the tackles and then use your burst.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it, and it wasn't on film. So when you're watching good running backs, good young running backs, even if they're 4-3 fast, I don't care if they can get to the edge on a sweep. Who cares? You can run by everybody. You're a gadget player at that point. If you're going to be a great workhorse back that's blazing fast, watch what they do between the tackles. The separation's going to come once they get past the safety, but it's what happens between the O-line and getting to that second level that really separates great running backs from just gimmick players.
Valid point. And that was my thing about Reggie Bush when everyone's like, oh, he's going to transform the NFL. I'm like, so fast. It's a little bit easier to turn the corner against Fresno State and Oregon State than it is against the Chicago Bears or the Baltimore Ravens. Are we come back? A hero emerges. An SNL edition of Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.